Hey Dan, morning on Friday. What's going on
Friday.
in Friday? Let me just get right to it. I just finished watching a couple of ads on TV. They were ads for pharmaceuticals, drugs. And if you listen to them, it may cause diarrhea, may cause shortness of breath. May cause heart attack, occasionally may cause death. But the one that gets me is the one it always says, do not take if you're allergic to any of the ingredients. Now, how the devil does anybody know what the ingredients of these drugs are? Because,
I'm trying to think what year did they have to give that disclosure on TV ads? But we've been hearing
but the
that now,
disclosure means
where they
nothing.
tell you all these great things and they show everybody walking in the park and
Indeed.
playing with their kids and dogs. And then all of a sudden they go into super speed. Like Zig Ziglar says, he usually talks at 120 words a minute with gusts up to 200 words a minute. But when they start talking about the side effects, it
Dan,
may cause heart
I
attack,
think
may
you're
cause
missing the
fainting, may
point
cause
again,
dizziness,
right?
may cause.
We're
They
not,
talk
the
real
issue
fast.
is not, they're not disclosing anything. That's the point. They're not disclosing anything. Let me give you an example. Go buy a jar of mayonnaise. Mayonnaise and every other food product by the FDA has to have a label that lists the ingredients. Has to be approved by the FDA. K-State, our one of our universities in Kansas, specialize in that. If you have a
Yes.
new product you're going to put on the market, you send it out to K-State, and they will actually design the label for you. But that's the point. If
Really?
you
Now, wait a
buy
minute.
one
Let's
of
do a little promo for K-State. They'll design the label?
Oh, Dan, you're missing the point again. Stay on
Well, I
point.
know, but I have ADD, and that's part of what the
I
people
don't
like
care if you
about
got eight.
banter.
Listen to the point. The point is the disclosures don't mean anything because I don't know what the ingredients are of the whoop-de-doo drug. They're not disclosed anywhere.
And
They're
we
not
wouldn't
on the
understand them anyway.
I have a blood pressure pills. They have a generic name. I don't know what the ingredients are. If somebody said to me, don't take them, Bob, if you're allergic to them, I'd say, well, how do I know if I'm allergic to them? Because they don't disclose. We have a Consumer Federation group that was started by Obama years ago by one of his friends from Harvard. And they haven't done anything for years. The only thing they did was make the banks just put the interest rates in bigger font size on the loan documents. But why in the
Yes.
world don't they shut down these pharmaceutical ads that are just stupid? May cause diarrhea, may cause this. That's a legal thing, but we don't know any of those things. We don't know what the ingredients are. I can't find out because most of them are confidential. They don't want to disclose what the ingredients are. Somebody else might copy them.
Yeah,
So
do you
we
think in the
don't
new
know.
administration with some of the shall we say, trying to shake up the existing health world, whether it's Robert F. Kennedy Jr., whoever it might be, that we'll see changes to that?
I don't know because it depends on who runs that Consumer Federation group. The woman that ran it before, she's now a senator, Elizabeth Warren, I think is her name. But they
Oh,
haven't done
wow.
anything, right? They get millions of dollars. If anything, they might as well close them down because the fact that, the pharma companies can run these ads on TV, it's insulting to us as consumers. Let me take
Yeah.
notes. Let's say a diarrhea. Don't want that. Shortness of breath. Don't want that. May cause heart attack. Definitely don't want that. But go talk to your doctor because this may be helpful to you. But by the way, if you're allergic to it, don't take it. I mean,
Yeah, do you remember, we're seasoned enough in life to remember when smoking, everybody smoked after World War II. I know my dad was a smoker in the commercials. In fact, in the TV series Mad Men, they were advertising. So do you think we'll go through a season now where pharmaceutical companies become as reviewed and questioned for their ads as TV commercials? Because TV commercials for cigarettes used to say, recommended by doctors for your health for cigarettes.
well, the answer, Dan, is no, unless somebody gets up in the morning, a senator or somebody, and says, we got to stop these damn pharma ads. Now,
Oh.
where, when what's his name was in there, that short guy that makes 400 grand a year and did everything wrong and lied through his teeth, Well, that guy was there. The pharma companies didn't have to do anything. So maybe they put a new guy in there. And he says, you know, we've got to stop these pharmaceutical ads. That's absurd what they say on TV. It's absolutely insulting to consumers.
Oop, go ahead. Sorry, something popped up here on my screen. I shut it off.
It's insulting to consumers that we have to listen to it.
Yes.
So, and the fact that the pharma companies put this on, they're laughing at us. They're just laughing at the consumer. They're saying, Mr. Consumer, we know you're just so freaking stupid, right? Because otherwise you would be up in arms every time you see one of these ads.
Yeah.
No one complains about the ads.
They're making billions and billions. Remember when we used to say they're making millions and millions, and now it's billions and billions, and in another 10 years, it'll be trillions and trillions.
All right. Just a second. God darn it.
Uh-oh. Breaking news. You've probably got somebody, could be something in your multitude.
Telling them on a Zoom.
Okay. Sorry.
There we go.
Okay.
Okay.
So let's get back to the point. So that's my first point. Now will anybody do anything? I don't know, maybe, but I don't see anybody complaining about the ads because the ads, the lawyers have agreed on the ads because, as you said, they think they're disclosing things. In other words, if you die, we told you you might die. If you're allergic to it, we told you don't take it if you're allergic to it. But we don't know any. We don't know the answer. What's the probability I might die? Maybe one in 50 people that take this pharmaceutical drug die within 3 weeks. Well, that would be disclosure. But disclosing, that's like saying to you, let me disclose my entire life. I've been a person. I mean, that's disclosure. Let me get the next thing, right? Keep watching the Fed. Of course, the Fed's going to drop the interest rates. But one more point that seems to get under my skin all the time, and that is the credit card interest rates. Now, I pay off my credit cards every month by just as part of a religious activity for me, right?
Yeah.
Because it's just simple what they charge. But remember this. The senator from Missouri, what's his name? My favorite senator, questioned the pharma guys. They had the Visa, MasterCharge, not pharma, but the banks. They had Visa and then MasterCard. Together, they make $50 billion a year on credit card interest. Now, talking about consumer control, they loan money out that they get from who? From the federal government, who gets it from the taxpayer. So they get money from the federal government at 3 or 4%. They loan it out on credit cards at 25%. Come on. Why don't we cap that? They ought to be capped at 6% or 7%.
Yeah, it would be tough. You know, it's interesting. And I can remember, I think back like literally 10, 12 years ago, the maximum rate you could charge was 13. 12.9 or 13. Now it's 29.
Exactly. 29. It's highway robbery. When, oh my gosh, I can't remember my friend from Missouri, the senator, who's
Josh Hawley, Senator Josh Hawley.
So he questioned the guys and the Visa, the Bank of America Visa guy said, yeah. Probably said, well, it's a monopoly, right? And said, oh, no, it's not a monopoly. Well, don't you guys control 90% of the credit card business, Visa and MasterCard? Well, yes, but it's still not a monopoly. And then he went on to say, and that $50 billion a year, if we made any less, we'd go out of business. No, that they didn't understand the question. $50 billion was net, not gross profit. They're netting $50 billion a year. They're basically taking taxpayer money from the federal government and loaning it back to other taxpayers at 25% interest.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to go back to my point, which we have this big consumer group, used to be headed by Elizabeth Warren. Why aren't they acting on that? I mean,
well, you know, Trump has talked about he's going to do something about it. He said 10%, 6% might be tough.
Oh, I never heard that before. Really?
Yeah, he just during the campaign and recently. So I think we'll see something at least be looked at. Of course, you're going to have the lobbyists, like the powerful lobbyists. They'll come in and say, hey, we can't make any money. But I know the total industry, you mentioned 50 with the people they had come to the Senate hearings, but I think the total interest for all companies that are in the credit card business is over $120 billion when you add them all
You
up.
mean net profit?
The interest in the interest and fees is
Okay, well, I don't
100.
care about that. Only thing that matters is what the profit is.
Okay.
What is the
Well,
profit?
but to the consumer, Bob, I know you are a man
No,
of
no, no. The,
great.
in order to control it, you've got to get at the profit, not what they'll say, well, yeah, we're getting revenues of 125 billion, but it costs us 115 billion because of debts. So we don't
So
make that much
30
money.
billion.
But that's what Harley was saying, is that the profit, not the revenue, not the interest charges, the profit was 50 billion.
Yes.
Anyway, all I'm
Yes.
saying is these are things that they're like the student loan debt that could be looked at. Hopefully Trump will. It absolutely annoys me. If I was in charge of the what is it that sets the what's the short guy? What did he run the health group that put out all the rules on where he lied through his teeth on all the on the COVID-19 thing? What was his name?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to protect his name, and I'm having a momentary lapse. The whole world knows it.
Well, he retired at he was the highest paid government official, 450 grand a year, and that's what he retired at.
Well,
And no
he
one
had been there
knows how
though
much.
since he was an intern at age 19, and he worked till 70 something.
Well, I don't care. Well, my point was is that he made 450 grand a year, didn't know what he was doing, and gave money to China to develop things like COVID-19. And they never did answer for that. Anyway, so maybe somebody will get in there and do something about some of that stuff. I mean, the credit card interest to me is just horrendous. And frankly, if you want to say, well, who does it hurt? Well, it doesn't hurt the wealthy people. They don't have any credit card interest, right? It hurts the people that can't pay all their bills that dump it on a credit card. So it helps maybe the bottom third of the population. So if you wanted to help people, cap interest rates.
Yeah,
But
they say, I read somewhere, if you have a $5,000 credit card balance and you're paying like 200, 220 a month, it'll take you 3 years to pay it off. But in that 3 years, you will have paid $2,000
well,
in
yeah, you won't pay it
interest.
off in 3 years. If you owe 5 grand, you pay 200 bucks a month. That's 2,400 times three. That's 7,200. Yeah, arguably, you could say the 5,000 cost you 7,200. But generally, you know, it's going to cost you more. It's like your house. No, not a lot different, right? You buy a house for 400 grand, you pay it off, it costs you 1,000,002. So why the Mormons are smart. They always say pay cash because interest will eat you up even on your mortgage, right?
Yeah, they really are. That's a good that's I'll tell you what,
Yeah,
people I
my
think
friends that
misunderstand.
were that I knew that were Mormons, they saved their money and paid cash. And
Yeah.
yeah, you can make sense. I mean, if I had my $500,000 back in interest I paid on my mortgage, I could have put that in an Apple computer and be worth 50 million. Well, the point is though, is we've got some really major things going on that sucks the life out of people. Credit cards are one of them. When I heard that Josh Hawley questioning those guys, and they were talking about how many trillions of dollars they have out, you know, at any one time, and how they charge, you know, they charge the small business company, the people that use Visa and MasterCard, they pay a fee for that.
Yeah. Well, I think we'll see because it's normal for people running for office to throw out a lot of ideas, and Trump has thrown out a lot of ideas. That was one of them. Another thing he just announced the other day is if you're going to invest $1 billion, which I say with a smile, having been a former elected official, he says
Yeah,
we're
you've
going to
told us that
waive all the
before, right?
regulation. We're going to waive all the regulation, and if you invest $1 billion, we'll get you right through, right through. Well,
Invest a billion in what?
if you invest $1 billion in a project in the United States,
Ah, okay, right.
Trump said, I'll get you to, it'll fast track it. I'll get you through all the regulations.
I think it's a good idea, right?
All it's a good idea, but you got to consider the state and the county and the cities that it's going to go into. They've got to have a say. It can't just be the president saying, waive all
he's
rules.
Not, I don't think he's saying anything like that. He's saying we do need a way to express, put those things through so they don't get held up. And a lot of them are held up not by the cities and states so much, but by people like the EPA, the people that don't want the real frog to get killed, the little frog out there, a little green frog that we're going to eliminate. We're going to, terminate some cockroach that we've had for 100,000 years, and poor little cockroach is going to be exterminated. So don't build that plant there, right? I mean, that's the lawsuits that slow it down. I mean, most cities and states, hell, they want the investment. They want to extract it.
You know, exactly. The whole key to it is economic stimulus. How do you stimulate the economy and stimulate businesses? I know I was in the software sales industry, and they had the ITC, investment tax credit, where you could get all of your investment tax credit up front. Yeah. So if you spent $5 million in software by the end of the year, that's how we would get people to do it. You'd be able to deduct all $5 million instead of spreading it out over 6 or 7 years.
Right.
So we need to do something
you
like
think
that.
You think that's a good thing to do?
I do, because it really makes a difference in purchases.
Who gets the tax credit?
The business that invests in the software or the
truck.
Who
gets the tax credit?
Who gets the business? Who bought
the buyer who buys the software?
What if they don't pay
any income tax now? Does a tax credit do them any good?
Well, it might extend into if they can carry it over. I'm not sure on how
they can. So, yeah. Most states realize investment tax credits like that don't work. We've had them in Kansas for years. Now, arguably,
why don't you think they work?
I was involved in it, right? So just like you were, right? And businesses can't use them generally. That's why states change their policies. Now, if you couldn't use them, you could sell them. But you sell them for 10 cents on the dollar. So there's a whole market in Kansas for buying tax credits. But again, there's so many darn strings. See, I'm coming back to Trump's point. What we have to eliminate, we know how to stimulate the economy. That's not magic. We know that. That's investment. And what's Trump saying? You have to eliminate the strings that slow down the investment, such as the fact Intel was going to invest, I don't know how many billion in Ohio in 2022. And in 2024, they still hadn't got their money from the federal government to build the plant.
Two and a half years.
That's all red tape. That's nothing to do with. So we know how to stimulate the economy. Trump is saying, we know we need investment, but we got to get out of the way of the people that want to invest it. Foxconn was going to build that plant in Michigan. I don't know how many million. They're going to build iPhones. It went away. They couldn't get the red tape done. It wasn't Michigan. It was the federal government. It was the EPA. The Environmental Protection Agency.
Yes. You know, the challenge is whether someone you got scrupulous, is that the word, and unscrupulous in the owner of the business. Now, there are some people that will not be, they are unscrupulous, and they will cut corners, and then the end, in 10 years or 20 years, something happens. Maybe it's on a building. Maybe something collapses. Maybe
what has this got to do with investing?
What?
We're talking about investing as an economic stimulus.
I know, and I'm saying the reason why those aren't more prevalent, in my opinion, as we banter here, is that you offer that type of benefit to a business. Some people will honor it and do the right thing, and some people won't do the right
thing. Now you're talking about what thing? Investment tax credits?
No. Okay, let's say I'm going to cut all the regulations.
Right.
Or reduce all the regulations. Well, if somebody tries to take advantage of that and not only doesn't just follow the guidelines, but cuts other corners because they see...
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You don't? Well, let me explain.
Well, you're talking about a hypothetical thing. Of course, if there's a crook out there that can take advantage of something, that's bad. I'll agree.
Okay.
But the point is still the same. The way we get investment is to remove the red tape around the investor. Will there still be crooks that figure out a way to do something crooked about it? Of course, there are going to still be crooks. They're not going away.
In the real world, if you offer something that people think they can take advantage of, people that do take advantage of things in a net, in a unscrupulous way, will do that.
I just said that. I agree.
Yeah.
There are crooks in the world. That has nothing to do with what Trump is suggesting. What Trump is suggesting is really clear. The conversation started on, do we know what it takes to stimulate the economy? We do. It's investment. You have to invest in things. Now, how do we get people to invest in things? Well, he got Apple 7 years ago to bring like $100 billion back in the United States because he let him bring it back in tax-free. That's how he and Tim Cook got together. That was a great thing. Not many other people did it. People didn't understand why they had all their cash in China because they couldn't bring it back in and pay taxes on it. So he said, bring all the money back in, invest it here, tax-free. And people took advantage of that. I think he should offer that again. That's a great opportunity because we have corporations here that have billions of dollars overseas that won't bring it back in the United States. They'll invest it in, well, for example, what did Apple just announce? They're going to put $10 billion into India. Why? Where does that money come from? It's already in India. They can't get it out. They might as well invest it in India. So that's the only point I'm making is that, A, we know what stimulates the economy. It's investment. We know who gets in the way. People like EPA and what I'll call the extortionist legal lawyers, right? Who file a lawsuit because somebody's going to be interrupted by this, right? By this new investment. And I think what Trump says, let's get some of the stuff out of the way so people can invest. And I've given you specific examples, Foxconn, Intel. These are people that want to invest, but, you know, they get hung up.
So, and that's the benefit to big business or corporate America. But now let's go to Jimmy Jones and Sally Smith on the
street.
That's
a big
AKA everyman.
You know who works for these companies? Jimmy Jones and John and Sally. They work for those companies that make those investments.
Yeah. But just as the savings goes, impacts the bottom line of the businesses, how does Jimmy and Sally
just say how they benefit?
In their bank account.
No, they get a job.
Well, if they get a job in that plant, yes, they benefit.
Yeah.
If they're just a consumer on the street.
Oh, God. Where do you get some of your crap?
Well, because you got to balance.
The economy is better. If the economy grows, we're all going to benefit. How much does Jimmy John benefit? I don't know.
Yeah.
But the idea, if the economy is not growing, no one's benefiting.
That's why we're bantering here.
No, but
We thought the economy grew under Trump the first 2 years, but also during his term as president, the national debt went up because sometimes.
Here we go on the national debt again.
I know. Well, it's a real deal. What is your solution to it?
No. We've already been talking about the national debt. Who cares about the national debt?
Well, they should in Washington, D.C.
Why?
Because it impacts the budget.
No, it doesn't. If it impacted the budget, the debt wouldn't be going up all the time, right?
No, because there's about 18% of the federal budget is now going to pay off our national debt.
Who are they writing the check to?
Well, you know, you're a classic example of you're a classic courtroom attorney guy trying. I don't know who they write the damn check to.
Because they're not writing the check to anybody.
Well, the bottom line is it's still got to be accounted for.
Well, you
got a new car and, well, I'm not going to pay for it. You can't do that.
That's different. If the government is buying it, is borrowing it from themselves, then they owe it to themselves. They borrow it because they're printing more money. So when they print more money, they print another, let's say $1 trillion, they essentially borrow it, right? But they borrow it from themselves.
Well, we need to have a guest in 2025. We've had some topics. We're going to have a guest. I'm going to find a guest, someone who is the expert on the national debt.
Well, make sure they know more about it than I do.
Well, Bob,
No,
very
what I mean,
few
I hope
people,
they understand it, right?
very few people in America know anything about anything, but because you are an intelligent man. That's why I
Yeah, but
like
I've
hanging
been
out with
talking to
you.
people about the national debt for 40 years. I've been in dozens of arguments about it. And most people, including myself to a degree, can't really get a good handle on it because no one has a handle on it. It's like
Okay.
the DOD saying, we don't know where all the money went. All we know is we spent it.
So here's the thing that I live by, and our listeners on Banter can take this in. So if you think you're the smartest man in the room, you
Yeah.
need to go to a new room because there's
Well,
always
okay.
somebody
So what does that
smarter.
mean?
That means anybody, me, you, anybody
Well,
that thinks they're the
Dan,
smartest person
what
in the
does this
room
have to
all the
do with what we're
time
talking about?
needs to go to a new room.
What does this have to do with what we're talking about?
Well, because you said, as we were bantering, you said they got to know as much as me,
That's right.
therefore implying that on an interview, you kill me, man. On an interview, you might be smarter or at least equal to or above the guest.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you don't know when you are smarter than the other person, then you have a real liability. You know, you have to know when you know more than the other person. It's not an accident. It's not an accident. I've been in this national debt argument again for 40 years, right? And I can tell you there isn't a senator that probably understands it. And they have the numbers, right? Because it all comes down to the same thing. Who do we owe the money to? That's the issue. Now, so if you're looking at people that are going to talk about the national debt, then the way you find out what they know is you say to them, whoever they are, you say, who do we owe the money to? Now, the second question is, we understand the interest that's accumulating. I agree. Who do we owe the interest to? When you buy a car, you know who you owe the money to. It's your lender. You actually have a contract with a lender who loans you the money, right?
Correct.
Now, let's go over to the national debt. Do we have a contract with somebody who lends us the money? So that's the third question. The third question you ask the person is, can we see the contract between the borrower, that's the United States of America, and the lender? That specifies the interest rate and the payment plan. You get
That
those three questions answered, and now you have somebody who knows. I don't know the answers to those questions, by the way. I have
Well,
a.
your buddy, you should write the guy you like, Josh Hawley, and say, Josh, here's a
I
question
don't have
for you.
time for that. I just have time to talk about it, and hopefully somebody else listens to this and starts thinking about it, right?
There we go. Web
I
talk
know we've
with.
got at least two people that I know listen to this to check everything. And I just tell them, go to your Google or go to your wherever you're going and find out those three questions. Answers those questions. First question is, who do we owe the money to? First question. Second question is, when we pay the interest, who do we pay the interest to? And third, is there an agreement between the government who owes the money theoretically and the lender who lends us the money? Is there a legal agreement that exists? Just like when you on a mortgage, no different. If we're talking about debt, unless we're talking about ghost debt, which most people are really talking about the national debt. It's fun to talk about, but all I know is this: when I borrow money, I have a lender and I have an interest payment, blah, blah, blah. If the government has national debt, then they have the same things. So where are those things? Where is that contract? You'll find out that I believe you'll find out that the answers to those questions don't exist. No one knows the answer.
Well, and on that subject and one other subject about what should be talked about in Washington, D.C. is they should be talking about at least, okay, answer the questions you ask, but they should be talking about the national debt. And another thing I hear zero being talked about that the new administration should pay attention to because it's rampant, it's a pandemic of
Zero
sorts,
what?
is mental health.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. The I could qualify for that.
Sure.
I should get something for that, right? Mental
Yeah.
health.
Well, you know, it's interesting because during the pandemic, loneliness became, because
Yeah.
people were alone. A person like me, a single guy, I don't have a bride like you. You got a wonderful bride,
Yeah.
and I don't have that right here in home relationship other than my dog. Woof woof, Hercules, how we doing? My
Oh,
dog.
dogging.
But point is, mental health. You know, I campaigned for a Kansas State Senator, Topeka Senator,
Okay.
in the 80s, and he was a Republican head of the Ways and
Well,
Means
let
and
me
Noise.
ask you a question. I agree with you, but I usually try to get specific. I was very specific on the debt. Now, in mental health, if you were in charge of that, what would you actually do? How could
Well,
we?
I
Go
would
ahead.
bring together, not unlike what they're doing with Doge and the
Yeah.
efficiency of the government, I would bring together a commission, a mental health commission, and get the best and the brightest minds, bring them together, have some senators and representatives, have someone as a point
Yeah.
person or a czar. I would name a mental health czar, and I would, because depression is huge, anxiety is
Oh, but
huge.
what would he do?
Well, they'd look at the impact of everything from social media to,
I know, but after they looked at all that, what would they do?
well, they would make recommendations to,
Well, what would be a recommendation they could make?
well, they're in the 80s. In the 80s, the amount of funding that went to mental health facilities
Yeah.
and
So there, that's one thing. So in other words, when it all comes down to, they could increase the funding for mental health facilities.
yes.
Yeah, and I'd say, yeah, so we don't need to have a lot of meetings to do that, by the way. We all know that's beneficial. So if I don't know who's in charge of that now, but I would say, yeah, that's a good idea. It's one thing that's hard to measure the success of it, but in terms of increasing funding, if you ask me, Mr. Sherwood, would you be in favor of increasing the funding for mental health facilities so it was accessible to more people? I would say yes. I'd say the biggest problem I see is that people that have a mental health problem, they're reluctant to go get help for it.
And that's another factor, is that you might have some form of a national, both a study, but also allow, sure, insurance companies do not really support mental health very well. I mean, it's almost, I wouldn't say impossible, but it's
Yeah.
prohibitive the amount of money that they will cover for mental health coverage. And so, you know, the insurance lobbies would, you know, fight because it'd take their profits. But I mean, we have a real issue in the country, and it's also causing division. When they get personally anxious or depressed, then they get in more chance of fighting with their spouse, with their neighbor, dividing. And we've got
Yeah,
a
I agree with
real,
all that.
yeah. So something needs to be done, and I'm surprised that Kennedy, as in his talks about what he's going to do with health and human services, hasn't brought that up. So stay tuned.
And by the way, I'm glad you brought up the insurance issue because if you listen to the TV in the last few days, the police who are, you know, extraditing this guy from Pennsylvania to New York City
Yeah.
are searching. This is hilarious for me. It's just so funny. We're searching for motivation. Why did he do this? I keep saying to myself, wait a minute. He's wrote why he did it on his media. He put his reasons on three shell casings. I mean, now, what more reason do you need? And by the way, the reason doesn't have anything to do with anything, frankly. I mean, it's kind of nice to know that. Maybe it's a mental health issue, frankly, but it's pretty clear he hates the health care in America. He
Yeah.
wrote delay, deny, depose. Or on his shell casings.
Yeah.
So we have a motivation. The real issue to me is that why are we care about the motivation has nothing to do with convicting him unless he's going to plead like he's mentally incompetent, which to me he is. He's mentally incompetent. Otherwise
Yes.
he wouldn't walk out and kill somebody.
And in a banter conversation here,
Yeah.
the real key is what you're seeing going on out there around that issue is there are people on social media applauding him, Yeah, saying he
I
did the
know.
right thing. They are putting pictures of other CEOs around New York City
Yeah.
And saying you're next. That's a mental health issue. When
well,
people think it's okay, freedom of speech or whatever.
I looked at some stats the other day on something. I don't remember what it was, but it was a bell curve. In other words, what it really said was there's just a few people that are crazy on the left side. There's a few people that are crazy on the right side. Everybody in the middle is kind of in the middle, as I call a bell curve. I don't know how you get rid of the crazies on either side, you know, because that's what they are. They're crazies. And the people that applaud him, they're crazy. You can't applaud somebody for killing anyone.
They have to redefine in the era of social media. They have to redefine free speech. I believe, I'm not 100% sure, but it's not okay in a theater. I think there was you might know this, you're the legal guy here. Somebody yells, fire, fire, in a movie theater.
Yeah.
I don't
yeah.
think that's covered under free speech. And so the equivalency of yelling fire on social media might be saying something against the president or a person, whatever.
The problem is that those things don't fly because the free speech people, they complain. Oh, you're controlling free speech, right? I agree with you, right? That's why we have libel and slander laws. But we have laws on the issue of speech of fire I can go yell fire in a movie theater and not be a problem, as long as nobody hears me.
Right.
Right. So the issue there is a little more complicated. You have to yell fire, fire, and everybody has to hear you, right?
Uh-huh.
And there has to not be a fire, right?
Right.
And it has to be a deliberate intent on your part to cause a problem, cause disruption, right? And people have to then be disrupted. So what I mean is this whole issue of free speech to me is very complicated. Again, there's lawyers that specialize in it. I'm not a lawyer. I don't specialize in it. But I know this, that if I was going to sit down and write a couple of paragraphs and say, this is free speech that's okay, and this is free speech that's not okay, I wouldn't be able to do it. Because the words themselves lack precision.
There's another 2025 guest that I'll research and reach out to, a free speech expert that has to know as much about free speech as or equal as you do, right?
Right. And now, how will you determine that?
Well, you know, I'll do the best research I can.
No, we've already established three questions on the national debt.
Uh-huh.
So if you're interviewing somebody on free speech, you just said you're going to talk to these people. What's the first question you're going to ask them?
Do you believe that free speech in America has gone awry and there are issues?
Okay, they're going to say yes. So is there another way to, we're trying to determine.
Do you have any
ideas? Not their opinion. Do they have some knowledge about free speech? First question I ask them is this, which amendment is covered by free speech?
Yeah, yeah.
That starts to understand if they know anything about it. Secondly, what has been the biggest free speech litigation in the United States?
Great question. And I don't know. Do you know?
No, I don't. But if I'm interviewing somebody to be a free speech expert, that's what I'd ask them. Because if they don't know those things, they don't know anything about free speech. And the third thing I'd say, something like this, I'd say, kind of explain to me the last 100 years of litigation on free speech. For example, I'd say, wasn't that long ago when George Carlin said the 7 words you couldn't say on TV? Now, what law was passed, if any law, that now allows him to do that? See if he knows the answer to that.
I don't know, because every one of those words are pretty much used on TV or radio.
All the time now, right? So in other words, is free speech legislatable? For example, I don't know that anybody ever said, there wasn't a law passed that said, the 7 words that George Carlin said that he couldn't say on TV, it's now legal to say them. No, it just happened. People started saying, right? So now it's okay. So what I'm driving at is, if free speech is a function of context, then who knows where it's going to go in the next 20 years.
And you
I
can put
know.
It, yeah, you can put it on your car bumper. You know, a little trivia tied to Kansas City is a guy named Forrest Gill, who ran Gill Studios here in Lenexa, Kansas. In the 40s, after World War II, he was trying, they had some paper resources, a resource they tried to figure out what we do with this. He came up with the idea of the bumper sticker and like, I like Ike and things like that.
Right. Uh-huh.
So that has a Kansas City hometown flavor to it. But bumper stickers today, why is it okay to put the F-bomb on a bumper sticker or attack the president or attack Donald Trump or whatever it might be, F Joe Biden or... Why is that okay? That should not be okay to me.
Well, you bring up a good point. Of course, we know that it's okay because the law says you can pick on politicians. But for example, they're not susceptible as often as we are to slander and other things. But here's my point, which I think you brought up a good point, and that is that going back to the free speech issue, that's why it's so complicated. That's why it has to go to court to be adjudicated. And even then, because the words themselves are so imprecise, we know words matter. We know that you can tell somebody something with one set of words and it's okay, and you can tell them the same thing with another set of words and it'll be offensive to them. So we know words matter. But because words are so imprecise, words by definition are imprecise. And very often the definition of the word is in the ears of the receiver. Anyway.
You know, it's interesting. It's a society problem. I was watching a TV show where the FBI was interviewing someone, and this is very common, that you see it in police stops on Instagram. Yeah. They blow it up like this is good, where the guy's videotaping the cop, pulling him over on his cell phone, and he says, I do not acknowledge your authority, sir or ma'am. I do not acknowledge your authority. Everything they say, can I see your license? I do not acknowledge your authority. And, you know, I'm a basketball referee. Even if he's a 6'10", you know, 220-pound college center, and he drops the F-bomb, or I'm going to call a technical foul for unsportsmanlike conduct. That's in the rule book that I can do that. I don't do it nasty. I just say, I don't have that on this court. And because in society, we don't have any referees, or again, people say, I don't acknowledge, if they want to have their entitlement, I don't acknowledge your authority. That's just ridiculous to me. I mean,
I agree with you. I think that's a very interesting point. And of course that comes back down to what I call the precarious balance we have in the United States. If we don't trust the law, if we don't trust authority, if we don't accede to an authority, then we have a lawless society. Now, you can't have a fair basketball game if you don't have rules like you're applying as a referee.
Yeah.
So I agree. Now, we theoretically have our rules. They're called the DOJ. They're called the court system. But, the court system more and more is I call it the playground of the rich and famous. It's not a playground where the rest of us can play.
Yeah,
like we try to get in the door, but the admission fee is too high. I only have one last point, and that is, thank God Trump is coming out and telling Biden that he was absolutely an idiot to tell Zelensky, go ahead and shoot those missiles at Russia. I mean, at least even Trump recognizes that was not a good thing to do. Certainly pissed off Putin and Russia. And I haven't heard anybody come out yet, either Biden or Zelensky, and say why that was such a good idea. Let's just go shoot some missiles at Russia. Well, why that's such a good idea? I mean, if you want to escalate the war, that's the way you do it.
Yeah, I don't know if it was prudent thinking, especially in a transition, because it puts the entire United States, you and I and that Jimmy Jones and Sally Smith we always talk about, it puts us at risk if Putin would go off and say, hey, I'll show you might.
And he'd be totally within his right to do that. He could say, you said it was okay for Zelensky to send a couple missiles at me. So guess what, LA? You just lost 50,000 people because I just dropped a missile on your doorstep.
Well, you know, time-wise, we're running to about towards the end, but that's your final thought there. Yeah, I think that Donald Trump is I think, off to a pretty decent start. He's keeping his rhetoric a little calmer than normal.
How's Pete Hegseth going to do?
You said he wouldn't I still believe he will make not. He will not be confirmed, is my opinion. And it isn't because it is not because of his personal issues. I think he really has honestly, genuinely tried to turn his life around. I just think it has to do with, is he administratively, organizationally, and personally able to manage 2.8 million people and get them to be behind him and an $850 billion budget? I don't think he has the experience, and he's had some stumbles with organizational budgets. I don't think he's the right guy. I think he's a fine man, and I wish him the best for he and his new bride and his family, but he's not the guy. He just isn't equipped. That's my opinion.
All
nothing
right. Well, we'll
nothing
see.
Personal.
When does he go before the Congress?
You know, they're up there in Washington all the time. I don't know if it has to be the new, the sworn in new Congress and Senate that does it, quite frankly. I'll have to look into that. Or if it can be done. I think it can be done prior to January, but we'll just see what happens.
Well, yeah, I would think it does, because don't they have to take office on January the 6th?
The 20th.
The 20th?
The 6th stands out because of that.
They're in charge January the 20th, so they got to be confirmed before that.
So in the first 20 days, yeah. Oh, this just in. On my phone, here's a Donald Trump only wants me to pay today $1,000 so that I can get the invitation to the inauguration.
Really? I'd say that's a bargain.
Well, no, that isn't gonna. If that was the cost, yes, but that. That's just to get an invite. Now, the greatest 4 or 5 days of my life, and that's another conversation for next time. So people want to reach out to us, webtalkwithbob@gmail.com. Check out Bob Sherwood on LinkedIn, Dan Snell on LinkedIn, but it's iTunes. It's under Web Talk with Bob on iTunes, right?
Yeah. Are you ever going to post it on YouTube?
I posted it on today. We're making progress. I posted it today on LinkedIn. And
let me ask you my question again. Are you ever going to post it on YouTube?
Yes.
Have you posted it on YouTube?
Not yet.
Okay. Who cares about LinkedIn?
Well, you're on LinkedIn.
I don't care about LinkedIn.
If I was the founder of LinkedIn, I wouldn't like that, Bob.
Well, who cares? I mean, what does LinkedIn do for anybody?
You're exercising your free speech here.
No. LinkedIn is great if you're looking for a job. Otherwise, it's just a place to be, cathartic something.
Well, there we go. It's time to banter on that another time, because I disagree. Right. I think LinkedIn has some, yes, for what you said, and some other resources. You just have to look at all the options.
I'm ready for you to tell me all the great things about LinkedIn anytime you want. So,
I'm a LinkedIn expert. Today.
I'm finished for today.
You are finished for today. Well, then we are finished for today with banter with Bob and Dan. Webtalkwithbob@gmail.com. And that's it, folks. Keep listening. Let us know what you think.
Goodbye.